Rock, sport and talk.
This is The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Okay, let's talk golf, and what a start to the campaign it's been so far for Paul Waring, Bromborough's Paul Waring, who's had a few incredible rounds, and he's having a little bit of a rest at the moment, I think. Or is he? Let's chat with him now. Morning, Paul.
Morning, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thanks for your company. It's been one hell of a 2019 so far, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Going from previous years, I've never really started that well, so a little unsure where that's come from, to be honest with you, but we've made up with the start and obviously set it maybe now for the rest of the season.
Well, I've just been doing a bit of research and I think I understand why, because when Ian Poulter does well, you do well by all accounts. And there's quite a historic link between the two of you, isn't there? So if we look this year, Dubai Desert Classic, tied third, Ian Poulter. Abu Dhabi HSB Championship, 12 under Ian Poulter. And then even if you go back a couple of years ago, end of 2016, you were holding Poulter off in the race to Dubai. You two have got a bit of a relationship, haven't you?
Yeah, it's quite, it's really interesting, mate. Because like you say, back in 2016, I knew I had to kind of keep him behind me in the last three events to get into the DP Tour Championship at the end of the year. And we actually got drawn together on the Sunday of Nedbank, which was the week before, on the same score. We knew whoever won that day over 18 holes, even though we're in the middle of a tournament, actually got into Dubai at the end of the week. Mm. So it was an interesting challenge, really. Obviously, I think someone pulled out and I came out on top that day, but I know Poulter got in anyway, because I think someone pulled out with an injury. But it was just, for the last couple of years, we've kind of just been battling out against each other, which has been nice.
Other target tournaments, I know you say starting the season isn't traditionally something you've done as well, but are there target tournaments in terms of you enjoy playing in the warmer weather climates? Obviously, but that's the swing that you've just been on.
Yeah, it's funny, like, even though I say I haven't really ever started that well, I always enjoy the tournaments. I enjoy the golf courses. Obviously Abu Dhabi, that become a Rolex Series event this year for us. We had a massive world ranking points involved with that. And obviously, we went over to Saudi for the Saudi International. Again, massive world ranking points. So it was a bit of a weird thing, really. Like I say, I've always liked the golf courses. It's just I don't know if I've always turned up with a good enough golf game at this time, where I feel like this year I prepared really well and I actually went away for a little bit over the winter and stuff. So, I felt sort of a bit sharper when sort of first day of Abu Dhabi came around.
And let's face it, it's a learning curve, isn't it? There's a brilliant interview on the EuropeanTour.com, which you did with the guys, obviously, after you had your success last year in the Nordea Masters. And you're talking about how you always thought celebrating and winning would come easy. But actually, after you'd done it, it just showed how emotionally, physically and mentally draining the whole thing is.
Yeah, it's a strange sport, this one. Like you say, it's still a learning curve. Even though I'm 34 years of age now, I'm still a spring chicken, really, in this sport.
Mm.
You look at other sports, tennis and football, it's a lot younger guys, and you have to kind of learn your trade a lot quicker. Where with this, I feel like, I'm still growing into it a little bit. The other side of that, like going through it all and actually coming out the other side and winning, there's no other sport like it, really. You think about tennis, where you get into a semi-final or a final and then you've only got one guy to beat. You're going to finish first or second, where golf, you go into the last round with a five-shot lead and have a bit of a nightmare day and finish down in 20th. It's to keep your emotions in check and keep playing as well as you are and kind of keep your head on for that amount of time. It's really quite difficult because kind of how catastrophic it can be the other end if it doesn't quite work out.
And do you only learn that more and more throughout your career? Because, as you put here, winning is bloody hard, like really hard, painful and stressful. Is that something that becomes more and more obvious the more years you spend on the tour?
Yeah, definitely. Like you say, you don't, it's something you're not really expecting. I think I said in that interview last year that as an amateur, you kind of, there's nothing, you do care, don't get me wrong, you do care, but all of a sudden as a pro, there's, without sounding crude, there's a lot of money involved. There's, you're trying to set your life up. You're trying to world rank your points, getting in this tournament, that tournament. There's so much on the line with every single shot you hit. I think what I've learned over the years is going back to how I was as an amateur and not really caring about the result as much. So sort of not putting as bigger emphasis on it and just going through, you know, as cliched and as corny as it sounds, that day-to-day process and what I do sort of practice-wise, that I can then take confidence into then playing tournaments.
And that would make sense. And Paul, you know, when you're playing with the players at the higher end of the echelon, so say, for example, oh, I mentioned your Poulters or Bryson DeChambeau, of course, who won in Dubai, you're playing with those bigger names. Does that naturally raise your game, do you think, as well?
Yeah, well, I played with Brooks Koepka on the Sunday of Abu Dhabi as well. And to be fair, I've known Brooks for years. He played a lot in Europe before, obviously. He kind of exploded in America and obviously won three majors. And I kind of know the lad, but kind of walking down the fairway with him, you know, I can have a conversation with him. Same with, you know, Rory. You know, played amateur golf with Rory, obviously. Played quite a bit with Poulter under the gun over the last few years. One of my best mates, Danny Willett, good friends with Andy Sullivan. You know, I've surrounded myself by some of the top names in the game, really. And I'm quite happy to go to dinner with these guys, ask them questions and that sort of thing. So when we are actually playing, I feel very relaxed. It's just, it sounds ridiculous, but I just feel like I'm having a bit of a knock with my mates and I'm trying to beat him as much as he's trying to beat me.
Absolutely. But you've also got your mates with you as well. We've got a joint friend in Alex who's a pro at Bromber as well. You take Alex with you, what, just to keep you level-headed, do you, when you're on tour?
He's doing a bit of practice himself. He's got a season ahead of him as well, so he's getting himself ready for that. But yeah, no, it's nice having a bit of a sparring partner. He's good at the game, and obviously he's quite comical as well. It makes a little more light Arsenal,
but it just must ease the environment, because you guys, you spend so much time travelling as well. You sometimes think, how do you keep your sanity?
Yeah, you know, you sleep different bed every week. You've got jet lag to put up with, different foods, different cultures. It is a little bit of a thing that changes all the time. It's not like going down to your local golf club every Saturday and, you know, playing the monthly medal or whatever. It's a different golf course, different temperatures, different conditions. It's a lot to get used to all the time. And, you know, that's both the best and worst thing about this game. You know, obviously you've got so much time away from friends and family, but also you get to see the world at the same time. So, you know, very lucky and blessed to be doing what I'm doing.
Oh, you've got a hell of a job, Paul. right, so winner of the Nordea Masters last season. Obviously, the target is win more this season.
Absolutely, yeah. Like I said, I'm not trying to put too much of an emphasis on that. I'm trying to just make sure I do my day-to-day bits and look after myself as well as I can. And if an opportunity comes along, hopefully I'll be able to take it again. You know, you can't go and win without putting yourself in those situations a few times first. So, you know, I'm feeling more and more comfortable the higher up on that leaderboard again, and obviously the players I play against.
And of course, Shinnecock Hills, you had a little dabble with the US Open last year, and it's important to be involved in the majors. That must be a completely different feeling.
Yeah, obviously I played a few Opens over this side of the water. That was the first major in the States. It is a little bit different, to be honest with you, but again, that's just down to course setup and the brutality of it, really. It's hard to explain just how difficult they set that golf course up, really. You know, you'll see your best players in the world shooting level par to win golf tournaments. That is ridiculous, especially when you see what, like, some of the lads, you know, like Bryson DeChambeau, I think he won with 24 in the par round. The Desert Classic, you know, that's a 7,500-yard golf course. That's not a short golf course. It's tight and rough, up, quick greens. It's not easy by any stretch of the imagination, so for these guys to be battling around over par sort of shows how brutal those US Open golf courses are set up.
Is that fun or not, Paul?
The challenge is actually being there. You know, you can get a bit caught up with a bit of a mentality of not making a show of yourself. I think I tweeted after I finished, I missed cut in Shinnecock, but I think it was like 76, 78, something like that, I think. And I just remember tweeting something along the lines of, well, I broke 80 twice, I can go and have a beer now. I've made a show.
Oh, fabulous. Ryder Cup further down the line, is that something you just sort of compartmentalise and think, well, maybe in the years to come, or again, is it a target?
It's a big target. You know, I need to go and do something special over the next season and a half, really. But you never know.
You don't
know what kind of a run you can get on, what kind of points you can accrue. You just, that's a great thing with the sport. You know, don't know what's around the corner. You don't know when it's going to click. You know, you're looking back to when I did win last year. I was on a real bad streak. I missed four cuts after winning. You just don't know what's going to happen in this game. So, you know, like I keep saying, I'm just going to keep doing what I do and peg it up and see where we end up come 72 hours later, really.
It's been brilliant watching you this season, especially when you nearly hold out. That was the Dubai Desert Classic, wasn't it? On the...
Yeah.
Oh, talk about agonising. You don't what?
I don't know how that missed.
Oh, it was just an inch away, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's been a little hop forward.
What a finale that would have been. Are you keeping your eye on the footy, despite all the travel?
I am, yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what, City went yesterday as well, which was a bit annoying, but... At least you don't have to play them again this season. So, you know, it's still in our hands. You know, we've still got to keep playing well. We look good over the weekend. So, I just, you know, just the confidence. And obviously, so, you know, I imagine the players are feeling a bit of pressure now and stuff as well. And, you know, you've got to remember, you know, these guys are trying the best all the time. And, you know, they're not going to just throw this away for some stupid reason or anything. They're definitely going to be trying the best. And, you know, if they get a bit tight, but I'm sure it'll. I'm confident the lads will come through it, and you know, I think it'll be a great learning curve for them all. You know, even if it's not this season, it's going to happen very, very soon.
Fab to watch. What's your next tournament, Paul?
I am flying up to Oman in a couple of weeks, so I've got Oman and then Qatar Masters as a little 2-week run. Then I'm home again for a little bit, which would be nice.
Good man. Let's hope Poulter's there. You two up there together. Paul, all the best. Thank you very much for your time.
Cheers, dude.
Take care. Paul Waring, the absolute top man, plays out of Bromborough and, of course, is doing big things on the European Tour at the moment. Tied third in the Dubai Desert Classic, 16 under.
Rock, sport and talk.
This is The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.